Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I've just come to that conclusion in my life. I don't want to waste my time. I want to make my life count for Jesus. I don't want to tread water. There's no throwaway Sundays. There's no, well, we'll just get past this. Anytime I come to preach, I always say, I'm bringing my A game. My attitude is this: I'm going to give God my best. I never come and say, so I'm not here going, it's a Sunday in October, which is holidays, so we'll just sort of ease it a bit. No, we are here to believe that this day God already knew before you were born, before you were formed in your mother's womb. God knew about this day. He knew you were going to be here. He knew who you were going to be sitting next to. You may think, well, it's coincidence. God knew who you would be sitting next to, and God has ordained a purpose for you in this day. Well, we're in the book of Nehemiah. I don't know about you, but I love this book. I love the character. I love the lessons that we are learning and the things that we are discovering. Nehemiah was a very influential person. He was in the palace. He was cupbearer to the king. You've heard that already. But he was in a major position of influence. He had the king's ear. If ever there was a guy that had something good, it was Nehemiah. But he also realized that just because you have something good does not necessarily mean that it's the ultimate great, because the great is found in the God factor, not the good factor. And even though he had things going good, when he heard what was happening in Jerusalem, by this point the temple is built, but the culture is playing on the people of God. The walls are broken down. They're susceptible to invasion by army. And in the heart of Nehemiah, he was thrilled that the temple, yes, were built, but he recognized that there was still a work to be done. It's almost a bit like us here at Apex. I don't know about you, and I'll say a wee bit more about this as I progress in my sermon. Those of us that have been in the journey from the beginning, we've come a long way, haven't we, in regard to building and the structure and how it's beginning to look. And we're almost coming to the end of that. And we could almost say, well, the work is done on the fabric of the church. But let me say this, there's still walls to be built. We're still walls to be built. We're still only halfway up. We've still a lot to do. We are not a people and we're not pastors that are satisfied with the fabric of the building. Tick. Okay, let's take our ease, because we believe that we have a greater purpose in this local town. We've been put here for such a time as this. We believe that God has positioned us. We believe that God has positioned us for something great. But Nehemiah had to leave the familiar. He had to get out of his comfort zone. And no one ever says it's easy when you're getting out of your comfort zone. I'm looking down at Faye this morning, which I think that's the closest I've seen her to the front. It's amazing what motivation we will use to get someone close to the front. Get her husband up playing guitar. Lovely to see you, Faye. Next time it's the altar. Anyway, But sometimes we have to come out our comfort zone, because of some of you even in this room, in your walk with Jesus, that you've hit your sweet spot, you've hit your comfort zone, and it's good, but God has given you good because he wants to bring you to something great. And your next step, your next pull, your next what is God doing, your next here I am, Jesus. Some of you are praying, God, here I am, and you sing it in the songs. God uses, and God's going, okay, but it's going to mean taking you out of the comfort of where you are to the place you need to be. Nehemiah could have stayed the rest of his life in the palace. But he knew that when that burden was placed in his heart, that his destiny was greater than a palace. His destiny was greater than just being cupbearer to the king. God had a plan for his life. So in chapter 2, you've heard also how that before even building the walls, the Nehemiah went and he walked around the walls. Well, actually, he was on a donkey. He went around the walls observing and looking and seeing the state it was in. He did so with his eyes open. God had placed something within his heart, but before he jumped into what God had put in his heart, he wanted to see the current state of play. I think that's wise, don't you? Question, when is the last time you, as you're walking, driving around Peterhead, in your workplace, in your school, when is the last time you did that with eyes wide open to hear what God is saying into your spirit about what needs to be done? Some of us say, I don't know what to do. It's not that you don't know what to do, it's just we don't open our eyes and our ears to hear what the Spirit of God wants to say to us. And we need to start in our community because I believe that God has placed us first and foremost. You see, Peterhead is our Jerusalem. This is our starting place. And when we're in our cars, let's open up our eyes and see what God is saying. And for Nehemiah, this was a defining moment in his life. Chapter 2, verse 18, we read these words. Nehemiah says, "And I told them of the hand of God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me." So they said, so Nehemiah shares his vision, he shares what God's put in his heart, and then the people say, "Let us rise and build." Rise and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. Nehemiah has the vision, he shares it with the people, it gets into the heart of the people, and the people say, "Nehemiah, we believe this is of God. Let's rise and build. Let's do something." I believe that every one of you in this room, we need a Nehemiah moment when God speaks to us in a definitive, clear way, and God maybe shakes us out of our comfort zone and gets us to that place where for his kingdom, we want to rise and build. I remember very, very clearly when Phyllis and I, and by the way, how good is it to have my wife back home? How good is that? I remember so clearly when Phyllis and I had what I call our rise and build moment. It's why we're here this moment. For many, many years, served faithfully my dad and his vision and what God had put in his heart. And I remember one day talking to my dad before he passed away, a couple of years actually, before he passed away. And I says, "Dad, you know, the work we're doing 3 miles outside of town is fantastic. And I love it. But I feel that God has put in my heart that we could have a church in Peterhead." "I'm a loon, Peterhead." "I'm a loon," he says. "Well, do you really sense that?" I says, "Dad, I really feel that in my heart." So Dad, in his wisdom, we started to look at venues here in Peterhead. We were still running church where we were. But we came and we looked at venues in Peterhead. And actually, just before he passed away, I remember being with my dad, rest of my family, Sister Louise is here. I remember we walked around one of the warehouses not far from here. And we thought, this would make a great venue. And Dad absolutely rubber stamped that. And he says, "Neil, if that's what God has put in your heart, you need to go for it." He passed away before we actually got the chance to go to the auction house. And I remember myself and my sister Wendy down to Glasgow. We went to the auction and we thought, oh, surely this is going to happen. And then we looked around and we saw about 3 different people, businessmen, that I knew from Peterhead. And I thought, oh, no, what are they doing here? And one of the businessmen, I love this, one of the businessmen who was a Christian, he came up to me and he says, "You're obviously here for such and such a place." I says, "We are." He says, "I tell you what, why do you want it?" I says, we want it as a church." Listen to what this businessman said. He says, "Well, I tell you what, if you want that as a church, I will not bid against you." He says, "If the bidding goes past you, or if someone else goes," he says, "then I'll go." He says, "But Neil, I promise." And by the way, he didn't. But another businessman got that venue and blessed them. You know, that was fine. And I remember thinking, God, you know, I just sensed that you had put it in our heart that we needed a venue in town. And God had put it in our heart. It just wasn't the right time. And what God had spoken to us was true. It just wasn't the right time. So Phyllis and I, we had our defining moment, and I remember that the actual place where we were seeking God, because long before we had a venue, we had a name. We had the name Apex Church long before we had an Apex building. I remember, you remember that? We went and we prayed and we were seeking God. God, what are you saying to us? Because we had a total idea what we wanted to rise and build. There was no doubt what God had put in our heart. It was just, what would it look like? And I remember when we played with a few names, and you remember when God, you do remember. You remember when God said to us just that sense of apex, and we're like, apex, apex. And I began to look and study the word, and apex means a high place. And I'm like, I reckon that God's church should be recognized as a light upon a hill. And then I saw that apex means the sweet turning spot in a road, a corner, the apex of the road, a turning point. And I'm like, yes, I like that, because I believe that God has called us to build a church that's going to be a turning point for people. And God began to work that in our heart and play that through. And here we are, and we began to build walls. And here you are this morning, and God is good to us, isn't he? But the best is yet to be. And I'm here to say as loud and clearly as I can that we've only started. Because I'm aware that we can get so familiar with what is taking place that we can become satisfied. We are not satisfied because the walls are only halfway up. And when they're only halfway up, they're neither up or down. And there's still a work for God to do. So we began to look at it last week because we saw that some incredible things happened when Nehemiah and the men and women, they began to build the walls. Let me read it to you. But it happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant. And he mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burnt?" Now Tobiah, the Ammonite, was beside himself, and he said, "Whatever they build, if even a fox goes on it, he will break down the stone wall. Hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn the reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you. For they have provoked you to anger before the builders." So we built the wall. I love that. And the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened, when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and to create confusion. And we looked at the fact last week that the challenge is that when things are halfway up, and I emphasized the point by getting a couple of our young men up on the platform, you remember that? And we looked at that nursery rhyme about the Grand Old Duke of York, and it was amazing how vocal you all got during that point. And we looked at the when they were up, and when they were down, and when they were only halfway up, and it was clear that halfway up was actually the most uncomfortable position, because you're not up, you're not down, you're only halfway up. And the challenge for us as a local church is this. The challenge is this, that we become satisfied with walls that are beginning to be joined together and are halfway up, yet something that is incomplete, that is not the full picture. So when some of the enemy heard what Nehemiah was doing, we read about the opposition, and we looked at that in quite a detail last week, because they began to ridicule them. Now, I don't know about you, but I can handle a lot of things. But one of the things that really challenges me is when someone begins to ridicule me. It's been said that some can stand bravely when shot at, but collapse when laughed at. Shakespeare called ridicule paper bullets to the brain. Think about it. When people begin to laugh, mock, point fingers, sticks, and stones, when they become your way, that you get into your spirit and actually can begin to work in you, because the enemy knows the buttons to push in every one of us to get a reaction. Every time I put the picture of my dad and his family, my dad, Uncle Michael. Every time we put that up on the screen, everybody sort of gets excited. Yes? And so you should. We get excited and we go, wow, that's absolutely incredible. I have to tell you that our family was the most mocked, ridiculed, laughed at family in this town. My dad and mom tell me stories that when they first started out in Zion, other ministers would actually get up and from their platform, they would actually tell the folks, don't go to that church. It's a bunch of crazy people. They're happy, clappy. They dance around the place. They get all excited. Don't go there. In fact, one minister who shall remain nameless, you can speak to me after, one minister actually true, during one of the services, he came down and he was looking through the keyhole, trying to find out what was going on. I've told you before, they spread a rumor. One minister said to his congregation, don't go there. You've heard the story before. During the service, halfway during the service, they switch off the lights and all the men make a dive for the women. Their next service was the biggest service that I ever had. You want to talk about ridicule? You want to talk about being mocked at? We get excited at the picture of Broad Street, but not everyone that came to see them at Broad Street was excited about what God was doing. And anytime you're doing something for God, expect people to laugh at you. When Phyllis and I, when we got that sense of what Apex was going to look like, I remember having this conversation with some friends, and I'll never forget the look on their face that one looked at the other, and they began to smirk at each other. They thought I didn't see them, but I saw them. They began to smirk at each other as I began to speak in our heart the things that God had put in our heart. Yeah, who's laughing now, by the way? Because I believe that when God puts something in your heart, don't worry about opposition. In fact, sometimes opposition is a sign that God is for you, the enemy is against you, and good things are ahead. So they mocked at them and they laughed at them. So what happened? So we built the walls. I love that. They mocked, they laughed, they ridiculed. But you know what? We just built the walls. And the walls are now halfway out. They're looking good. The people have a mind to work. And we looked last week at the whole thing of faithfulness. And I can't emphasize this enough. Be people that are faithful. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to God's people. Be faithful to God's house. If you want to see something significant in your life, then you must develop faithfulness. Faithfulness does not happen by chance. It's something we all have to be intentional about. Faithfulness is an incredible characteristic. I say faithfulness is just keep on keeping on. That's why I get so excited at our ushers and our people that are here when no one else is here that are serving faithfully in a church. Because volunteers, and I want to say we love the volunteers in this church because they're not doing it for a paycheck. They're doing it for the love of the cause and work of Christ. In fact, I think this would be a great time to say thank you to all our incredible volunteers. Because maybe you're here this morning and you feel undervalued or you feel discouraged. But what's interesting is when you look at chapter 3, when they began to build the walls, you see that there are a lot of names recorded. It's called the Book of Nehemiah, but actually it could have been called many names because so many people got involved in the work. Somebody took responsibility, thankful for the loyal service, and I am thankful for the loyal service of people in the past. You know what? You and I, actually all we've done is we've taken a baton. We've taken a baton. I was thinking as I walked in this hall this morning, and I give thanks to God every time I walk through that door. But thank God for faithful people that kept the lights in this hall on and this door open so that 5-6 years down the road, we could be here. I don't want to embarrass Ronnie and Ann, but I will. the fact that they're here and don't make fuss and very humble. And when others decided not to go on this journey, they've stuck the journey with us and been part of us. If it hadn't been for a faithful couple like that, that when people used to walk past this church, there was only a few people in here, meeting downstairs, not a lot happening. Faithful people kept a door open so that you and I could be here this morning. And we say, glory to God. And thank you. And we don't say that to embarrass you. And I see Reg there in the corner, faithful here, and others in this hall. You've been so faithful. Now, here's my point. In years to come, when I'm old and gray, okay, when I'm old, in years to come, this is what I want. I want someone to stand on this platform and say, folks, I know we're a church of 1,000 plus, but you need to realize something. There was a minister, he was a bit crazy. He was a black guy. Black guy? Yeah, black guy in Peterhead. Really? Yeah. Was he cool? He was super cool. Anyway. There was this black guy in Peterhead, but he was married to the most beautiful Irish girl you've ever seen. There was this, but I tell you what, he was loud, and he was a bit crazy, and he was not the normal type of minister you find in Peterhead. But because he kept on keeping on, because of faithfulness, we are here in a church of 1,000 because someone believed there could be a church of 500, because someone believed that we could make a difference in Apex Church. Names are recorded. We don't know the individuals, but somebody took responsibility. We have a rich heritage because of a great history. Did you catch that? And we're making history right now. Have any of you ever been into an older house or decorated a house and you've pulled the wallpaper off? You young people know what wallpaper is. I'm just checking. And you pull the wallpaper off, and here's some names written behind the wallpaper, either who owned the house or who did the work, or some plasterboard off your walls or whatever. And here's names written of people that you probably will never know, but they are letting you know that they did some work in that house to make a difference. We may not personally know them, but they were there. You know, history may not record your name. Everyone may not know that you were part of Apex. But heaven right now is recording everything we take a personal responsibility for. So we have to be faithful. But I said all that last week. But we've got to be fruitful. Say fruitful. You see, there's the personal responsibility. Everybody's name was on the line. Notice something. They built the part of the wall that they had to build was the part opposite their own house. They did not get to pick the easiest place, or they didn't get to pick their favorite site, or they didn't get to pick the place that was most prominent. They didn't get to build necessarily where everyone saw what they were doing. Everyone took responsibility for the wall in front of their own homes. Now listen, if I'm protecting my home, and Matthew alluded to it this morning, if I'm building something that's going to protect my home, it's going to be built securely, it's going to be built solidly, I'm not going to skimp on cement or whatever, or mortar or whatever, I'm going to make sure that the bricks are in place. Why? Because this is for the protection of my house. And Nehemiah reminds every single one of us that in our building, build for your house, build for your home, build for your family. I've said this often. I believe that our creche should be the best creche in town. Our kids work, our youth work. Why? I don't have any grandchildren. Well, none that we know about. I don't have any grandchildren right now. But I'm believing if one day, listen to me, church, if one day we have grandchildren who will be brought up in the house of God, then we need to be planting the seeds now of greatness. I'm not going to wait until we have grandchildren to take an interest. No, I want that creche to be great. Kids work. I don't have any kids, so kids work, it's good. And Matthew, yeah, well done. And Christina, yeah, well done. No, one day it may be your grandchildren. So you need to invest now. The youth work. Oh, it's fantastic when we see what the young people are doing. One day, your little darling may be in the youth ministry. Therefore, you need to build walls securely and solidly. You invest now. You play it forward. Why? Because we're building for the future. If we have a church that's full of 1,000 people, wow, could you imagine all the little darlings that are going to be running around? My goodness, that's going to be wonderful. Really? It's going to be wonderful. But listen to me. We have got to start building the walls now for the future. Oh, Neil, that doesn't affect us. Yes, it does. Neil, that's not important to us. Our kids don't come to this church yet. Our grandchildren, they don't go to church yet. You can't wait until the event to start to get involved. That's why we build walls now. We take a personal responsibility because we've chosen to be fruitful. When God said, be fruitful to Adam, be fruitful and multiply, here's what he was saying. If God said it, Adam, then everything you need for fruitfulness is within you. So you may be going through a barren season, a hard season, a tough season right now. You may be going through a massive storm right now. But if God is for you, which he is, and not against you, you need to understand that everything you require for fruitfulness is within you. But here's what sometimes happens. We want a harvest without planting the seed. I was watching Phyllis just pre-summer, and she was planting little seeds. And what's interesting about a seed is this, that a seed has to be buried in the dirt. You see, we want the harvest, we want the fruit, but we don't want the dirt. We want the pleasant experience, but you'll never get the harvest until what the Bible, a seed has to be planted into the ground and die. And then I watched as we watered the seed. Because you don't just stand and expect it to happen, you've actually got to do something with that seed. See, maybe you're here this morning and you feel that you're just covered in dirt. And you're like, God, what on earth is happening in my world? But there's something that happens in the dirt that doesn't happen in the box. There's something that happens when that seed is buried that doesn't happen when it's on the shelf. Because it needs to be buried in that dirt to open up and germinate. Now, that's as far as I'm going to go because I don't understand the whole thing. But what I'm saying is this, the fruitfulness sometimes comes through the difficult challenge that you're going through. For Nehemiah, there was massive challenge in their world as they were building the walls. But Nehemiah, in his heart and in his spirit, knew that even though the enemy was opposing them, God was for them. Don't let what you're going through define you. To everything there is a season. Neil, I've been hurt in ministry. That's why I don't get involved. Join the club. Neil, this Christian thing, I've tried my best and someone said something, you won't believe what they said, and I feel really hurt. Join the club. You come and speak to me on a Monday morning, let's have some coffee. You know what? If you're doing something for God, somewhere along the line, someone's going to have a conversation that's going to upset you. It's never happened to you, Matthew. Everyone loves Matthew. Someone's going to say something, look a certain way, cast aspersions. Someone's going to throw some dirt at you. But I've discovered this in my world, that when people throw dirt at me, it's an opportunity for the seed to develop into the harvest that God has and God has desired. Oh, Neil, but if you can't fit this head, if you really knew, listen, here's the biggest thing. Even if I don't know, God knows. God knows. Why don't we just get to that point of leaving it? You see, Nehemiah, think about this. Could you imagine if I was reading this? And the enemy came and opposed Nehemiah and ridiculed them and said, even a fox will knock over the wall. So Nehemiah, this great man of God, was so upset at what they had said about him. He went to the men and he says, Daniel, you'll never believe what they said.
I'm just doing the work of God. I'm trying my best. They never say it about you. You're so good. They always say it about me. Oh, I've got a comforter. Oh, it's. I don't know if I can take it anymore. I just want to give up. It's finished. It's over. What would we think of Nehemiah if that's what we read? And yet, how many more Nehemiahs could have been in the book? How many more Nehemiahs could have been in the book? How many more walls, I use this as an illustration, could have been built if someone just determined, I know what people think, I know what they're saying, I'm aware of all this, but in my spirit, I just feel that God has called me to build walls or whatever God has called you to do, and I'm just going to keep on keeping on. And that's exactly what they did. Because read this last point. So it was from that time on. And it happened. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. The enemy, there's ridicule, they're pointing fingers. But here's what we did. We returned to the work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the time of Judah. This is what Nehemiah said. In the midst of everything that was happening, let's get back to the work that God has called us. And I believe that that's the word of the Lord for Apex. Wherever you're at, whatever season in life you're at, individually and corporately, let's get this done. Let's get back to doing what God has called us to do. Why? Listen to what Nehemiah says. And I looked, and I arose, and I said to the nobles, to the leaders, to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your house. Listen to what he said. Guys, there's opposition, and it's difficult, and there are storms all around us. But here's why we're building walls, because we're making a decision right now. We're fighting for our family. And we need to fight for our family. If you can't build a wall for yourself, build a wall for your family. If you can't get involved for anyone else, get involved for your family. You need to get passionate again. You need to be reinvigorated. You need to be enthusiastic. Let me tell you, maybe you feel up this morning, and maybe you feel down this morning, and maybe you only feel halfway up. Wherever you are, let's get back to the work that God has called each and every one of us to do. Why? There's walls to be built. There's souls to be saved. There's a town to be transformed. There's families to be united. There's restoration to take place. There is a cause. And I don't know about you, church, but I am passionate about doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's altars to be rebuilt at homes. Commitment to God. Commitment to God's house. And now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem said to me, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. That's a different sermon. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Here's what I want to say. I'm not coming down. We're not coming down. There are walls to be built. There's a work to be done for God, and we're not coming down. And maybe there's opposition, and maybe there's difficult circumstance, and maybe we're struggling, but we're just determined that there are generations ahead of us that value right now what God has put in us. So we're going to be faithful, and we're going to be fruitful, and we're going to get back to the work that God has called us to build. So as we close our eyes and bow our heads, and the band's coming, and as we just transition at this moment, what has God called you to do? See, now I want to make this personal. What's God put in your heart? I believe there's people in this room that Perhaps God has called you to purpose. There was that sense in years that have gone past. This is the will of God. God spoke in you. God spoke through you. And maybe you've given up on those walls. Maybe you got them up so far, but opposition, persecution, challenge. Something came your way and knocked you off your stride, and you've lost sight of that which God put in your heart. Maybe you've listened to the voice of others that have said, it'll never come to pass. Man, if I listen to all the voices that have spoken into my life, but I tell you the voice I want to hear, the voice of my Heavenly Father, who states clearly, this is the way, walk ye in it. People in this room, and you're almost at the point that you want to give up, but God is challenging you again. Come on, you need that fight back in your spirit, that determination in your heart. That God, we know what's happened, but we're getting back to the walls. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus. You've never asked Christ to come into your heart. You've never responded to Him, to His words, to His way. That's where the whole journey starts, by making Christ Lord of your life. But coming to that place of total surrender. See, maybe your life is broken because you're not responding to the master builder, Jesus Christ. God loves you. And God so loved you that He sent His Son, that you could come into an incredible relationship with Him. Or maybe you're here and you would say, Neil, my life's not right with God. I've turned my back on Him. I've walked in other ways. Time to recommit and reconnect and reestablish. So I'd love to pray for you just before we say concluding song. People that don't know Jesus. That's why here at Apex, why are we building walls for lost people? Why are we doing what we're doing for people that need to come to Jesus? Why are we passionate? Because there's a world that has lost hope, but hope is found in Him. You're here. You've never given your heart to Jesus. Your life is not right. You want to reconnect with Him. You want to connect with Him. You say, Neil, that's me. Would you put up your hand? Would you put up your hand? Would you respond to Jesus? Would you respond to Him? Not the voice of Neil Cameron, the voice of the Spirit of God, who would say, come on, all ye that are weak, heavy laden, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. That's the promise of God. Let me ask one more time. You're here. You don't know Jesus. Father, we thank You for the power of Your Word and the encouragement that we get from Nehemiah. Lord, You've called us to be faithful and to be fruitful. And Lord, right now we look in the mirror and perhaps think we don't have what it takes to accomplish what You have declared. But we take encouragement from the fact that if You said we will be fruitful, then within us is that which is necessary to accomplish that work. Pray in this room for folks that are downcast and are heavy laden. People that have put the building tools down, people that want to give up, people that have let the voice of others get into their head, people who have let ridicule play in their heart and their mind and their spirit, people who have just said, enough is enough. We speak hope right now. You're the restorer of hope. And Father, we pray that You would help us to be like Nehemiah, who made that decision. I'm not coming down. There's work to be done. There's still stuff to be finished. It's incomplete. But I'm going to complete that which God has called me to do. Like the Apostle Paul said, nothing is worth doing unless I live to finish that which Christ has called for me. So Father, we speak hope. We speak future. We speak a tomorrow because of our todays. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.